I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Isn't it incredible that this Batman movie opens with a couple of cod pieces and a couple of jiggly butts just wriggling their way into a pair of rubber pants?
It does. I mean, it doesn't start that way. It starts with the Warner Brothers logo just morphing right into the Batman
you're
logo.
Right, you're
and I'm
right.
Like, are you kidding me? This ain't my granddaddy's Batman movie.
Except it is, in a lot of ways. Because this is, if Batman from the 60s was, you know, in the 90s, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
But worse?
It's not good, is it?
No.
And like, everything has gone too far. Like, when I saw that car, because we talked last week about Batman Forever and how, like, okay, this car is like, it's kind of a good update from the previous one. Just nonsense. Absolutely fucking nonsense movie. And the first line of this movie is, I want a car, chicks dig the car.
Which is what Val Kilmer Batman said in the previous one.
That's right.
Mm. It's a fun reference, right?
I guess maybe it is a fun reference, and then Superman works alone and whatever. And then Batman slides down a dinosaur like he's Fred Flintstone. Uh-huh. Please leave a like, by the way. Watching this by myself, Mason, yes. I thought to myself...
As if you'd be watching it with anyone else.
I know. I thought to myself...
I had a Batman and Robin watching party and all my friends came around. Lies.
Yeah, you're right. I thought to myself, surely comic book movies in 1997, like that year specifically, were better. What year did Blade come out? And that was actually 1998. So that year we got Spawn and Steel. So I guess it's better than Steel, I guess, but it's probably not as good as Spawn.
I think it's... Ooh, wow. Tough call.
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of settled into it. I think it's better than Spawn, but I mean, for me, it would depend on the day. This is the first time I've seen this movie, by the way.
Really?
I gave up.
I saw this at the cinema. This is the first Batman cinematic experience
well,
I had.
Well, Batman Forever was the movie where I gave up watching these at the cinema, so Batman and Robin was the first one where I'm like, I'll wait for... VHS, but then it never happened.
I'll wait 27 years or whatever it is.
And look, my number one takeaway, Clooney's not a very good Batman.
God, he's not, is he?
No.
He's really not.
He's not a good... I understand why you think he might be, because he's very handsome and charming.
I think
and,
he could be in a better movie.
Yeah, he's very, very handsome and charming. You're like, I'm sure the studio were like, we'll just slot him in there, but Bruce Wayne's a handsome millionaire. It'll work perfectly. First of all, that haircut doesn't work on Clooney. It doesn't work on O'Donnell as Batman or Robin.
I agree.
It looks like there was an outbreak of lice in the Batcave, and Alfred had to come in and just shave their heads a couple of weeks ago. Give Clooney like Batman, like Bruce Wayne hair. He's got to have millionaire hair.
He can clearly do
it. He's got to have old money millionaire hair, you know?
One of my notes about this movie is everybody in this has never been worse. Mm. And I think some of those are intentional.
Yes.
Uma Thurman... Mm-hmm. is doing, you know, some variation on the three Catwomen from the 60s.
Absolutely, yes.
Like it's your Julie Newmar or your Eartha Kitt or the other one.
Lee Merriweather?
Thank you, yeah. Mm. It's just that.
Yeah.
But just tragic. I mean, and I know it's bad and people hate this movie for various reasons.
And we know it's also supposed to be camp.
Exactly.
But it doesn't work in this one. I think it worked better. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think it worked better in the previous one.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
by tenfold. And I know, like, there's minor things that people have been upset about, you know, like the bat nipples. But honestly, like, who cares? That's such a minor thing. But some of the designs in this, like I mentioned, like the Batmobile and the sets and that, my God. Like, that Mr. Freeze suit, what the fuck were they thinking with that?
Too much going on.
Just do the Art Deco thing that was popular at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, just weird kind of bulbous, like, transparent, like, blue chest pieces and the whole thing is powered by diamonds and he's got weird glowing teeth. Just a nightmare.
Was that some sort of...
Batman goes to a party with Robin. Mm-hmm. He just goes to a party.
Well, he would have in the TV series, but...
That's true.
There's some... Yeah, I mean, there's some very Batman TV series stuff in this, which in look, and again, like I said, I settled into it. I'm like, okay, if this is what I have to watch for 2 hours, I guess that's fine. I'd rather be watching. But the question is, what was Schumacher aiming for with this movie?
Whatever the studio said. Yeah. Put a bunch of toys in it. Here's what he said.
There's some very Hot Wheels looking car chases in this.
Boy, is there.
Like, if you said, okay, how they did this is they just got the actual toys and just ran them down a Gotham City statue or a landmark or something, and then with somebody's actual fingers, and they just blue screened the fingers out, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably possible, sure.
It feels like it goes, you know, bigger with moments like that in the action sequences, or it gets just really claustrophobic on... very cluttered, like rubbery, bouncy sets.
And uninteresting fight sequences.
Yeah,
as well,
really. Really dire stuff. So I've got a few things here from what Joel Schumacher has said about this movie. And I want to talk about one of the more famous ones towards the end. But he said, I didn't do a good job. George Clooney did. Chris O'Donnell did. Uma Thurman is brilliant in it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that is certainly true. Like, he's limited as a performer, especially at this point in his career. Uh-huh. I think he has gotten better, but you really need like a James Cameron, or you put him in like a Commando or like a Conan, the good Conan, you know, to make use of him. Like, here as this, it's just not. Just no thank you.
And also, let me tell you this. I based on the memes going into this movie, I'm like, oh, Mr. Freeze is all cold puns. He's all cold puns about a third of the time. either commit it all the way in or don't at all. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just like, Freeze, that's my name. Remember my name. That'll be your doom. It's not cold based.
No, it's really not. Also, he doesn't know a lot about ice. Because there's a couple of things he said. Well, there's a lot of things. Apparently he does 27 cold related puns. But are they puns really? Here's a couple of my favorites.
At one point he says, cool party as he leaves. And I'm like... That's like how Snoop Dogg invented the word "izzle," so he could just rhyme anything.
Yeah, right.
You could use that. It's very fortunate that "cool" is a synonym for, you know,
absolutely
exciting and fun and what have you, because he could just do it. He could be like "cool bank," because he's leaving a bank robbery.
Yeah, cool dog pissing that got frozen by a big freeze ray. That's cool. So here's a couple of my favorites that don't make sense. In this universe, there's only one absolute. Everything freezes. That's not true.
Vodka, for example.
Yeah.
Which is what I was drinking while I was getting through this.
And this one, what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Again, no, it didn't. That's not true. It was probably Adam Driver and a big meteor.
That's right.
Just nonsense. And then, of course, we've got Bane showing up. Mm. My favorite thing about Bane is, first of all, that he sort of looks like the comic book character, but he has none of the nuance or intelligence or fighting skills or any of that. But just his little disguise as a chauffeur, where he's wearing a trench coat and a hat,
yep.
Like just driving Uma Thurman that's around in the car.
That's a bit
good.
Of fun.
And I'm a big fan of that. Mm. But yeah, that was definitely like putting in these three characters. I feel like especially Bane and Mr. Freeze off the back of the animated series, that was really like what's popular, what works, what has the animated series done that people really... gravitated towards, because this version of Mr. Freeze, it takes the narrative from the animated series.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. It's done
much worse.
Much worse.
We see the footage of Victor Freeze being shocked by some sort of scientific equipment and being hurled into a big vat of cryonic chemicals.
Man, everybody gets thrown into a thing of chemicals.
Maybe put a safety rail in.
Yeah.
That's an OH&S issue. That's a fine. Let me tell you that much. You kidding me? He's just like, oh.
How'd this happen?
At one point, Robin falls into a big vat of what I think is ice cream.
What is
and
that?
If it wasn't somebody's fetish before this, it is now. Oh, I can't get off unless I see a Robin being thrown into some ice cream.
Let's talk about Robin Mason.
Okay.
First of all, there's this contentious kind of relationship between Batman and Robin in this, and you feel like it's going to go towards the Nightwing situation.
Which is to say that this version of Robin quits being Robin and he takes on his own identity, which costume-wise looks almost identical to this version, except he doesn't have a cape.
Yep, exactly. And there's a couple of reasons why that's happening. One, he's in love with Poison Ivy, and he just can't see past that fact for even a second. And the other is that Batman doesn't trust him. And there's a moment where they get back from their first mission where Robin made a big mistake by getting frozen, and Batman's like, Jesus, this guy, really? And he's like, you need to do more training in the simulator. Also, what does that look like? I'd love to know. Right. We don't know at this point, obviously. But also, in that very same mission, Batman got himself frozen to the inside of a rocket, and Robin had to save him. So really, maybe you should get in the simulator.
That's right. He's bad at being Batman. He's
terrible.
Also, what we learn in the opening sequence of this movie is that if Mr. Freeze blasts you with his freeze gun, you have 11 minutes to be unfrozen, otherwise you'll die.
You don't just die of no oxygen.
That's right. But we learn that 14 minutes into the movie, which means that all the people Mr. Freeze froze right at the start of the movie, they're all dead now.
Yeah. Do you don't think Batman went back with his laser that he carries?
Not enough time.
And his ice skates? No. There wouldn't have been enough time. You're absolutely right. I also feel like this Batman, you know, he clearly doesn't trust Robin for a number of reasons, and it's noticeable in even the Batmobile, because for the first time in this series...
Single-seat Batmobile. Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
That was probably for action figure purposes, though, I'm sure.
Sure.
It was just cheaper to build a single-seat toy.
Yeah, so. And then you have to buy two also. You have to get the motorbike and
that's exactly,
you know?
Right, yeah.
It's really bizarre that this whole thing is leading towards Nightwing, and then at the end they just go, no.
But also I feel like, not that we should be discussing character development in these movies, really, but I feel like the idea that Batman works alone, but then he encounters this new guy and takes him under his wing, and then they become, you know, they learn to work together. I feel that was resolved at the end of the last one, right?
Well, that's true,
I think they were just like, what kind of arc are we going to have? But, like, that's what Batgirl should be there for,
yep.
You know?
Oh, here we go, Mason.
Okay.
I find the introduction of that character so funny because Dick Grayson opens the door, and the way it's shot, it looks like he's 4 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
Looking up at Alicia Silverstone. Like, wow.
Wow, a goyle. But also, and I also thought it was going to be like some sort of pervy thing, but then it just wasn't.
No, they do some motorcycle missions or whatever. She does the same thing that he did in the previous
one, yes, yeah. Exactly, right? There's also, what they've decided to do in this, the makeup department, whenever she has been doing some motorcycle stunts or motorcycle-based adventures, she returns and she's got like what is meant to be, I think, sort of like sexy grease marks on her face.
Yeah.
Looks like a bloody chimney sweep.
She does look like...
odd spots to put them is all I'm saying.
And of course, you know, this version is not related to a completely incompetent Commissioner Gordon. What does he even do in these movies, honestly?
I have a note here. It says it took 4 movies, but Pat Hingle's Commissioner Gordon finally did something. There was a switch that had been flipped and was freezing everybody, and he unflipped the switch. He staggered across that set, and he unflipped the switch, and everybody was like, ah, my lungs have unfrozen.
That's good stuff.
That is good stuff.
Incredible police work. And she obviously gets into the Batcave because her uncle let her in or whatever's happening there. And she's got a her own Batgirl costume and all of that. And she comes out, and one of the first things she says when she meets Batman and Robin is, Bruce, it's me. Like, that's a joke, I assume? Like, what is that? Like, but it's said so earnestly.
I don't mean because it looks exactly like Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, like,
she's got the mask
obviously,
on.
Obviously, right?
The small mask on, yeah.
But I guess also this is like a universe where you don't recognize people who've just got little domino masks on, right?
Correct, yes.
But just wild. And then George Clooney says something like, Batgirl, that's not very PC. What about Bat Person? And I booed Mason. I said, boo, boo George Clooney. just awful. So do you know about the stories at the time of the body shaming in relation to Alicia Silverstone?
I have a vague recollection of that, yeah.
This went absolutely wild through the press. Which, by the way, nobody's talking about George Clooney and being like, well, he's not very muscular as a Batman. Boy, he's bobbling his head a lot like a big bobblehead man.
There's some scenes. There's a scene where Pamela Isley, Poison Ivy, confronts him at some sort of press event.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a big double-breasted suit and he looks like a weedy little man.
He's not a big guy. From somebody,
allegedly, he's 6 foot tall. I looked it up.
He's absolutely not 6 foot. Yeah, yeah. He's not 6 foot tall because I know somebody who's seen him in real life.
Yeah, right.
And was like, no, he looks like a little bobblehead man.
Interesting.
Like he's got an enormous like man-sized head.
Right.
On like a little body.
That's often the way with Hollywood stars, yeah, I believe.
It presents really well on
but Uma
camera.
Thurman, I looked up also, is listed as 5'11 and 3/4 or something like that. So okay, she's 6 foot if she's a day.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they work backwards. They work in reverse for female stars, I imagine.
Absolutely, yeah.
But clearly they were like, we've got to make her look teeny tiny and George Clooney look real big. Didn't work.
No, absolutely not, yeah. But all these stories came out at the time that, you know, she wasn't fitting into the costume properly. And
this is Alicia Silverstone.
And one of the press articles from the time from EW Entertainment Weekly was that she looked more like Babe the Pig than a babe.
Brutal.
I know, right? And apparently
and she looks incredible. That's I don't know what.
Like, how could you look at that person and go hideous? Also, if
was this like Paris Hilton?
How small do you want the costume to be?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Completely. Was this the era of like your Paris Hiltons? This
it was
is pre
just
that.
Pre that.
Okay,
yeah.
But this would have been that era of like probably like American
like
Pie.
Like a Kate Moss
like,
heroin
yeah,
chic kind
right.
Situation, yeah.
So.
Remember like it was like, well, look, one of the Spice Girls is really fat. And it's like,
which one? What are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah, like every because that was the era where like female stars had to be dangerously thin.
Ally McBeal, you know, and a lot of these stars have since, you know, opened up about this, how like they were basically starving the entire time, yeah, you know, for years on end.
Lara Flynn Boyle?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rail
yeah.
thin.
This is a true story as well. A storyboard artist on this film even drew her being cinched into a corset, which was a rumor that like they had to, you know, like
right.
like just really wrap her up in this suit and then put it up on the wall. And this person nearly got fired for it, but then didn't because he didn't sign his name to it. So they're like, we can't exactly...
You reverse Bob Kane-dom.
Exactly, yeah.
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
I didn't invent this. But yeah, but also, again, like, the idea that they would be shaming her, but also these two men in these obviously fake muscle suits get a pass.
Ridiculous.
Nobody had that physique then.
No.
Ridiculous.
Well, nobody who was doing these movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But to his credit, Joel Schumacher came out swinging in her defense and was just like... What is this? Why are you doing this? Because by all accounts, you know, everybody seemed to like him and he made the movie that the studio asked him to make. We'll talk about it more. Look, I think the only good George Clooney stuff in this, and it's not even that good,
okay,
is his relationship with Alfred. Is
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Sort of explored. And that dynamic of... why do you have a 90-year-old butler who's dying working for you?
Why did the doorbell ring and rather than you going like 20 feet to your right and opening the door, did you go, Alfred, open the door, Alfred. Where are you at? Time's ticking, Alfred.
What's that story about, like, Alfred's brother as well?
Oh, Wilfred Pennyworth.
Who's also a butler.
He's also a butler. Well, he's a Golden Age character.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, in the loosest possible sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that never went anywhere, did it? And also, Alfred's like, I've got this information, I'm putting it on a CD, and I've got to, when I die, because that's going to happen real soon, I'm going to need you to, don't look at this, Barbara, don't look at what's on here. Just send it to Wilfred. And then she, first of all, while he's dying in the other room, she is just like at his computer, like trying to crack his password, where he's like, you know, succumbing to this disease.
Yep.
Against his wishes, she's cracking this password.
But he knew.
Yeah. But then...
But he wanted her to get into the Batcave and all of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but then she opens the... She cracks
just
the...
Just be like, just go to the Batcave.
Right? She cracks...
I made you a suit.
Yeah. She hacks this CD by putting a name in.
Yep.
First, I hate those scenes where it's where somebody look. I gotta crack this guy's password, and they look around the room and go, "Oh, air conditioner. There's an air conditioner in this room. It must be an air conditioner,
yeah,
or whatever." And it's like nobody.
It's just random.
That's right. Yeah. Also, I'm saying this because all my passwords are air conditioner. throwing people off the scent.
Lowercase.
That's right. But then she hacks through this. She hacks the firewall, yep. James, and then it's just like it looks like all Batman's technology. It's like a bunch of blueprints for all the Batcave stuff, like all the Batmobile and
what
all
what if
the...
she did send it to...
Yeah.
What,
is he selling it?
Well,
is
that what he's doing? Was the idea to get him to come and work at the Batcave?
Oh, maybe Wilfred's got his own superhero
on
the other side of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Who just is constantly being brutalized by criminals because he doesn't have any cool gadgets. Like this Batman, he's useless at being a vigilante.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he had all the toys and the grappling hooks and the what have you... And it's also got an MP4 of the opening title sequence.
Boy,
in there,
does
apparently.
It, yeah.
It's like, oh, the Batman logo and the Robin logo in there.
But they go in there and Alfred's a computer now. And he goes, hello, I'm Max Headroom, sort
That's
of.
That's right.
I mean, I like the idea of like a digital AI Alfred, which I'm sure they've done multiple times since in like the comics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the Jarvis Tony Stark
right,
situation.
Right, uh-huh.
I like that idea. And Michael Goff is always great. But look... Yeah, just that the moment where Bruce Wayne has an honest chat with him as Alfred's probably dying, like they have more chemistry and more of a relationship between, say, him and Al McPherson, who's in this movie for some reason.
James, I've written here, this is a question for you. Is Al McPherson an upgrade or a downgrade from Nicole Kidman?
Downgrade, Mason.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd fall for that. I thought you'd say they're both beautiful Australian roses and I couldn't make a choice.
I just meant in terms of like a compelling actor.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's what I meant, Mason.
Okay, all right.
I don't judge people on how beautiful they are. That's you.
I know. Worked out pretty well so far.
Seems to have, yeah. Also, there's a lot of diamonds disinformation in this movie.
Oh, yes. Go
Mason,
on.
Do you mind if we have a little sidebar here, a little section called diamond disinformation?
I love it.
Here we
Sounds
go.
Good.
So first of all, if Mr. Freeze wanted to get diamonds to power his suits and lasers, whatever, just break into De Beers, who have been hoarding diamonds for well over 100 years and still hold over 27% of the world's diamonds in order to jack up the price of diamonds because diamonds are actually quite plentiful. I don't know if you
That's
know this,
right.
everybody.
I did know that. That's right. But they had a big stockpile and they're like, what if we start a little marketing campaign that suggests they're rare and beautiful and you simply must get one as an engagement ring,
yep.
for example.
Big scam.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does, Mason.
Also, side note that is unrelated to De Beers, if you can afford like a giant rocket tank car,
yeah,
could probably just buy some diamonds, I reckon.
You probably could, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so diamonds cannot generate electricity.
Mm.
So there's a bit of diamond disinformation.
I think quartz can. You should have a quartz-powered suit.
That's not very... I mean... He could get quartz anywhere, couldn't he?
That's right.
It wouldn't be very exciting as a movie.
He'd crack open a bunch of digital watches.
He could. But here's something interesting. A team of physicists and chemists from the University of Bristol have actually grown a man-made diamond that, when placed in a radioactive field, is able to generate a small electrical current. So, you know, if he was going for that, I'd be like, well, that's actually scientifically accurate. I don't know why I was mad about this particular aspect of the story. I think it's because there's just so many things going on and it's all nonsense. My brain is like, which part of this do I even focus on? You know, and I guess, I don't know, it's dumb that he needs diamonds to power his suit. Why would he need that in particular? Because he can hold the big diamond and that's go, right. Ice to meet you or whatever.
He should be scurrying around like behind people's houses like a squirrel just attacking their air conditioning units with a screwdriver and drinking the contents. That's what this movie should have been about.
Absolutely. So,
and that's more relatable to us. I don't own any diamonds, but I have an air conditioner.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
So famously, Joel Schumacher has actually apologized to fans, well, multiple times, but specifically also on the making of on the DVD.
Oh, that's the worst place to put it, I think.
Here it is, though, if you want to see it. The thing is, though, I don't think he needs to apologize for this. This is not his fault. This is studio interference. They said make the worst thing that you can with a bunch of toys in it. He was even known to shout on set, this is a comic book, just shout it and whatever, who cares? And, you know.
That does sound like his fault, actually.
But if you look at the movies he's actually...
He could have said, act better, build better sets, do better choreography. Let's not use weird CGI models of the three heroes and have them do weird leaps and such.
Absolutely.
But he didn't yell any of those things, did he, James?
No, he didn't yell any of that. But if you look at, like, his filmography, there's a lot of really good stuff on there. The movie Falling Down, which is about a hero who's had enough. That's what that movie's about, isn't it?
That's absolutely right.
He did the movie Phone Booth. He did the movie
about a phone booth that's just had enough.
He did the movie The Phantom of the Opera with Jerry Butler.
Wow.
Yeah. He did Tigerland. You ever seen Tigerland?
Yeah, it had Colin Farrell in it.
It's a great movie. So, you know, I think he is a really good director, but he's just kind of been... People only seem to really remember him for this, despite, you know, a number of other good things he's been in. And speaking of...
Well, maybe if they made some Tigerland toys.
Sure. Colin Farrell would have... He could have been a Batman.
You push a button on his back and he turns into a tiger?
I don't want to go to Vietnam.
Too bad. You've got tiger powers, so you've been drafted, idiot.
So George Clooney, apparently it's been said, this is the Hollywood rumour, that he will refund you if you mention to him in person that you saw Batman and Robin. Mm. And he did take this as a career move, because if you look at, like, Michael Keaton, mm-hmm. look at Val Kilmer, it didn't hurt them,
That's true.
I would even say, though, I don't think it hurt him that much either, because as a result of getting this, he was already kind of getting more movie roles and he was known as a movie star. He'd already kind of transitioned or was very much in the process of becoming, like, a television guy to, like, a leading movie man.
That's
you
right,
know?
He left Ur behind.
What?
The TV series Ur.
He did. Yeah. Apparently,
it was about a man who
erred on the side of caution.
That's right, and he took a long time to think of what he needed to say, much like us.
Apparently, though, he still keeps a poster of the film in his home office as a warning to himself. Anyway, it's time for Green Trivia / That Guy Shouts Rodney. Here
now,
it
it's called Green Trivia, James, because, of course, Poison Ivy is quite green, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
That's correct.
No, it was in the Green Lantern episode.
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to help.
Don't do that.
Wow. This is a lesson about us working as a team.
Yeah.
I think.
Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
So John Glover appears in this as Jason Woodrue.
That's right.
He was also, of course, Lionel Luthor in Smallville, the Riddler in Batman the Animated Series, and Mr. Savannah in Shazam.
Mr. Savannah.
Yeah.
Because he's Dr. Savannah's dad. Okay.
He probably has a name.
I thought you misspoke.
No, I would never.
Okay.
You didn't pick me up on Shazam, though? No, never mind.
That's fine. No. I expect that kind of guff from you normally, so no.
So we talked about...
Anyway, he's great. I agree. John Glover.
So we talked about how, you know, Val Kilmer didn't want to return after the last one he did, and neither did Joel Schumacher want him. So a few of the names that went up was William Baldwin again.
Okay.
And also David Duchovny.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I can see that. I don't know about the... I remember at the time people being like, that nose doesn't work in the cowl.
I don't think
that's strictly true.
Mm.
You know, if they can squeeze a big jiggly butt into a pair of rubber pants,
that's right.
You could do something with David Duchovny.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So Arnold Schwarzenegger got $25 million for this movie and top billing.
He does have top billing, that's
yep.
right.
He smoked white Cuban cigars, so he got regular Cuban cigars and got them painted white so he could just smoke on set.
Yes.
And apparently he was contracted to only work 12 hours a day, and that includes the makeup process, and had handlers feeding and massaging his hands in the makeup chair. This is still like peak Arnold power, you
Oh,
know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone had dared to challenge the logic of Mr. Freeze smoking what were clearly regular cigars, heat-producing cigars,
yeah,
they would have gotten a piece of his mind, I would imagine.
No,
yeah.
That didn't even occur to me. So a new form of light foam rubber was used to make the superhero costumes, and this helped the costumes weigh less than any other Batman film. But as a result of that, they often ripped out and tore very easily. And they actually needed to be replaced or repaired quickly from the like 100 plus costumes which were harvested or built for this. And, you know, there was a very real possibility.
Oh, yeah, now.
Listen, no, there was a very real possibility.
This is your worst one yet.
There was the very real possibility.
You really had to shoehorn that.
Listen
to
me, Mason. Right, you're not listening to me.
Listening.
There was a very real possibility that when the skin was exposed because of the cold sets, they would turn blue. Anyways, in an interview with the Burleson Star in
Disgraceful.
Texas.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful.
Coolio, who's in this movie, said that the reason he agreed to...
Oh, Coolio?
Yeah. Said the reason that he agreed to do this cameo was because Joel Schumacher promised that he'd get to play the Scarecrow in the next film. So apparently he's Jonathan Crane in this.
Oh, yeah. Right then.
Alicia Silverstone's costume was later repainted and used for Barbara Gordon's bat suit in Birds of Prey. Something we have talked about before.
That's right, bad show.
I agree.
One of the worst.
And Kevin Feige, the president of Marvel Studios, has called Batman and Robin the most important comic book movie ever made because its catastrophic failure forced major comic book companies and their film studios to rethink how they presented comic book-based media. And that is certainly true.
And it's true.
Because the box office for this, despite having a budget between $125 and $160 million... Bit of a gap there, isn't there?
It really is.
Which one is it?
A lot of costumes, a lot of Hot Wheels, I
That's
imagine.
That's right. The box office return on this, though, was only $238 million worldwide, which was well behind the previous three. It actually came in behind Titanic, The Lost World, Men in Black, Tomorrow Never Dies, Air Force One, As Good As It Gets, Liar Liar, My Best Friend's Wedding, The Fifth Element, The Full Monty, Bean, Hercules, and Face Off. Number 14 that year.
Wow.
Yeah, not good. But, of course, there was going to be a sequel because people thought this would do well.
And this was Batman Triumphant?
There was Batman Unchained as well. Okay, there's right. a few names out there. Also,
I don't recall Batman ever being chained, quite frankly. That's ridiculous.
I agree. We talked about this last week also, but this one should have really been called Batman Forever. It's the fourth one.
That's right.
I didn't even realize that, Mason. Uh-huh. And neither did anybody who worked on these, obviously. So, yeah, one of the ideas was Harley Quinn, who was going to play the Joker's daughter, and Scarecrow were going to appear, and hallucinations that the Scarecrow would make people have would meant that former villains would appear, including Jack Nicholson's Joker, just casually slip him $30 million to That's appear right. in one of these again. There was also a Nightwing spin-off sequel that was going to be in the works, and Joel Schumacher apparently had several meetings with Warner Brothers trying to convince them to let him make another Batman movie. He wanted to make it darker, that Batman Year One movie that we talked about last
That's
week.
Right.
And he wanted to cast Kurt Russell as a young Commissioner Gordon, but Warner Brothers decided not to rehire him, and of course... It went into went through a number of handlers, including Darren Aronofsky was going to do it
right.
at one point. But yeah, the next one was Batman Begins, which despite being only 8 years later, it feels like there's like...
It's like 100 years.
100 years between yeah, those movies.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Anyways, just, I mean, I know people talk about, you know, how bad it is.
Yeah.
It's because it is.
It's very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's boring though.
But I would also, say it is boring.
It's kind of boring.
I'd say it's kind of boring in parts, actually, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I wouldn't say it's very boring. How about that?
I also wouldn't say it's very boring. So when they do the new 4K release, put that on the poster.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't say it's very boring the whole time.
Definitely.
It's just very boring some of the time.
Agreed.
And Bane wears his little hat.
And that's not boring.
That's fun.
Yeah. Anyways, if you want to see these early, because these aren't boring, I feel.
That's right.
I mean, I'm biased, obviously. You can actually head over to bigsandwich.co where Ben and Lawrence, they get the edit done and it always goes up there early, including next week's episode. Here's a hint.
What is it?
I think we're doing Back to the Fast and Furious universe.
Back to the Fast and Furious?
universe.
What would that be like? Marty! It's all about family, Marty.
Marty! Vin Diesel, he sucks, I think. It's not a... apparently he's intolerable. Just a completely insufferable
I've heard that, yeah.
maniac.
Apparently in the new one, like... There's almost no scenes with Dom with anybody other than Michelle Rodriguez.
I've heard that.
He doesn't like any of them.
Well, that's what I like, though.
I like that, too, yeah.
Yeah, just weird green-screened movies where nobody's in the same room. But in addition, if you head over to Big Sandwich, there's bonus movie commentaries. There's bonus podcasts. We do video game Let's Plays there, don't
that's
we
That's right. That's a new thing.
That's a new thing.
But also an old thing because we used to do it.
You know, now it's on there and whatever.
Yeah.
And also our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that actually comes out there. Monday.
Do you mean Sunday?
Sunday as opposed to Monday.
Love it.
What do you think about George Clooney returning as Batman? Just in something.
If they improve the hair.
Yeah?
Look, we've all heard rumors.
Sure.
D- Do you think if they did bring him in for like a little gag or something like that,
yeah,
do you think we'll see the hair and will it just be his regular hair?
I think it'll be under the cowl.
Yeah, it'll be under the cowl.
Or maybe,
yeah.
No, because you'd have to, because he's not very distinct in the cowl, is he?
Well, nobody is, really.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
I think there's a fair chance that they're going to trap Ezra Miller in the George Clooney Batman universe
yep.
at the end of those movies. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. Also, Mr. Freeze, he says grab the gems or something.
Wow.
Get the gems.
Get the gems, he says.
That's the thing that I say.
That's great stuff.
And just to be clear, I didn't steal, because I haven't seen this movie till now, so I didn't steal that.
Yeah, it's your favorite movie.
Mm.
All right, goodbye.
I did steal these cigars, though.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.